This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, great to be with you.
And boy, we've had every kind of weather imaginable in the last week or so here, and so I've got just a little bit of a cough or a rough throat this morning, so we'll just let Bridget handle the program today.
Okay, well that's pretty crazy there, Jim. We're gonna let me take over, so this is gonna be fun.
Not the whole show.
Okay. Well, we have, since you were speaking about weather, we have a wonderful guest from Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. Our guest today is Katrina Zeno. She is a internationally and nationally known speaker on Pope John Paul II's theology of the body. She's been doing that for over or around 20 years. She is also the author of 3 books and over 50 articles on that topic, and also has recorded 2 television series on theology of the body, one for EWTN, our affiliate, and for the Apostolate for Family Consecration. So currently our guest, Katrina Zeno, she is the coordinator for the John Paul II Center for Theology of the Body and Culture for the Diocese of Phoenix, Arizona. So welcome to Faith in Action, Katrina.
Thank you so much. It's such a delight to be here with you.
And you're going to warm our hearts. You're going to bring some of that sunny weather to us, at least over the airs, right?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. It is sunny in Phoenix today. It'll take a little while till it warms up, but, you know, when Jim was talking about the weather, I couldn't help but think about my name, you know, Hurricane Katrina. If we want to talk about weather, you know, bringing in, blowing in the wind and warmth of the Holy Spirit and theology of the body, there we go. We can use weather for that.
All right. Well, you know, this is going to be airing. It's Valentine's week, so a lot of people are thinking of love and all good things. And I'm curious, you know, when we talk about love in the Catholic faith, the theology of the body is a really important idea. I'm really curious what drew you into the theology of the body. How did you get interested in that topic?
Oh, wow, that's a wonderful question. Well, we have to actually turn the clock back a number of years. How many? 26 or so. 1992, I had the privilege of going to Rome and with my son, who at the time was going to turn 5 in the week that we were there. And before we left, when we arrived, I had written a letter requesting that we attend one of John Paul II's private morning masses in honor of my son's 5th birthday. And so we arrived. I handed the letter to the Swiss Guard, as I had been instructed to do, and sure enough, we got a phone call saying, you know, show up at that, you know, that same gate Monday morning, 6 a.m. So that's what we did, and we were on the list and ushered, you know, through the innards of the Vatican there to John Paul II's private morning mass. And afterward, and so it was really a privilege because it was only about 50 or 60 people in his private chapel. And afterwards, they ushered everyone into a large audience hall, and they grouped us by who we came with, and it was just my son and myself, and we were pretty early in the grouping. And so John Paul II came along, and he greeted each person, shook their hand, and handed them a papal rosary, and basically just moved on, you know, pretty quickly. And when he got to us, I had given my son a little book that I had edited entitled Titles of Mary, because we all know John Paul II loved Our Blessed Mother. And so my son, blonde-haired, blue-eyes, very adorable, 5 years old, mm-hmm. hands the book to John Paul II, and he stops, and he bends down, and he kisses my son.
Aww.
So I think that makes him a third-class relic.
Oh, wow.
Having been kissed by a saint.
No doubt.
Yes, and then he turns to me, and I say, we're from Steubenville. And it didn't seem to, you know, click for him, and then I said, we're from Franciscan University of Steubenville, because I was living in Steubenville, Ohio at the time.
Okay.
And when I said that, I saw the light go off in his eyes, and he reached out. Now, remember, everyone else, he just walked along, shook their hand, handed them a rosary, you know, stopped with us. So he reached out, put his hand on my forehead, and he blessed me. And in that moment, I experienced receiving a portion of his spirit. And at the time, my life was in a very tumultuous place. I was just navigating the end of a 10-year marriage that had been annulled, and so I was trying to piece my life back together again. And I really, I knew that John Paul II was Pope, but I hadn't really read anything of his writings. And I have to say, that moment really changed my life and set the direction for my whole future, even though I didn't know it. So when I went back to Steubenville within the next couple of years, I was introduced to theology of the body, and that spirit that was given to me in that moment of blessing, mm-hmm. really was like a little seed. And so the seed started to sprout and to grow and to become what I hope is a very verdant and fruitful theology of the body tree, in which other people can find meaning and rest and purpose and really insights for their life.
So for those who may be joining us right now, we're talking with Katrina Zeno. She is the coordinator of the St. John Paul II Resource Center for the Theology of the Body and Culture in the Diocese of Phoenix, Arizona. But she's also a widely known speaker. For those who may not know what the theology of the body is, how would you define that?
Oh, I love answering that question, because the way I like to answer it is a little bit unusual. I like to say it is a robust Trinitarian anthropology. Now, you might be saying, well, Katrina, that sounds like you just read something off of, a French or Italian menu. Don't have any idea what mm-hmm. those words mean.
Yeah.
But, robust. Think about a robust red wine. Mm-hmm. It's something that has great body to it, and it can stand up to any kind of spicy or complicated food, and the finish of a robust red wine sticks around for a while, on your tongue, and you just like to savor it. Well, theology of the body is robust. Thank goodness, because it's up for the challenges of our time, and our culture is throwing us challenges that we've never had before. And it's a Trinitarian anthropology. So people often ask me, well, is theology of the body new, or is it something that's always been around?
And that's a good question.
It's so often the answer with John Paul II is the answer is both. Mm. It's always been in the tradition, but John Paul II is giving it a new articulation, and I would say in two ways. And the first is this, that John Paul II's understanding of God is this robust, this solidly Trinitarian understanding of God. So when he's trying to understand who the human person is, which is what anthropology is, the study of the human person, of man, he's looking at who the human person is made in the image and likeness of a Trinitarian God. So we've all heard Genesis 1:27, God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him male and female, he created them. I always like to encourage people, so we think, we're made in the image and likeness of God. Well, when you say God, for most people, what image do you think pops in people's mind when you just hear the word God?
A guy.
It's like the old man with the long white beard.
Yes.
For the majority of people. So think about that. We've just said, we're made in the image and likeness of an old man with a long white beard.
Mm-hmm.
Does that tell you who you are? Does that tell you the meaning and purpose of your life? It's very inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
But John Paul II instead has this robust understanding of God as Trinity, and for him that means a communion of persons who live this communion of persons by pouring themselves out in a total gift of love to each other. That's whose image and likeness we're made in. So theology of the body is this amazing reflection on biblical scriptures to try to understand what does it mean that we're made in the image and likeness of a Trinitarian God as male and female, and therefore, what is the meaning of the body? Like, why do you have a body? What is the significance, and why is that body masculine or feminine? And isn't it just unbelievable that this is exactly the question that's, you know, being thrust into our faces everywhere we turn now.
That,
you know, this idea of gender.
Right. And, you know, as we think about Valentine's Week, you know, people are kind of wondering, you know, what should I do? You know, school children are exchanging Valentines. Couples are scrambling, mostly the guys, to figure out what to give their wife or girlfriend. And then you have singles who maybe aren't sure how they fit into all this. I'd like you to talk about maybe like Valentine's Week or and beyond. Like, how do we love others? And what is love from a Catholic perspective? And is there a Catholic way maybe to celebrate our loved ones this week and beyond? I know that's a big question, but...
Yeah, but these are the most important questions of life. John Paul II said in his first encyclical, Redeemer of Man, that the human person is made for love, and that if we don't understand love, if we don't experience it, if it doesn't become part of our life, we'll never be able to understand who the human person is. And I think that is a really important thing to keep before us, because it means that we're made for love. But as you said, it all turns on, well, then how do you understand love? And love is a multi-layered reality. But again, this is why understanding God as Trinity is so important, because our reference point for understanding what love is a Trinitarian God. So that in the inner life of the Trinity, what do we have? We don't have, you know, three buddies hanging out, you know, having beers together.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it means when we say a Trinity. It also doesn't mean, there's a whole bunch of mushy-gushy sentiment, although sentiment is part of love. But it means this idea that the Father is pouring himself out in a total gift of love to the Son. And the Son receives that love from the Father and responds by pouring himself out in a total gift of love to the Father. And the Holy Spirit, I like to say, overflows as the fruit of their total self-giving love. And so in my work, this is the most foundational concept that I hope and pray that people will grasp, is that when I think of who I am, the first thing I should, and what love is, the first thing I should think of are Father and Son pouring themselves out in this totality of self-giving. And from that total self-giving, it doesn't stay just contained within it. It wants to burst forth. It wants to overflow in this fruitful love, which is a third person, the Holy Spirit.
And when you talk about the Trinity, we actually need to take a break, but I want to come back and talk about the Trinity and family love, and then how that can kind of overflow into our culture. So we're talking with Katrina Zeno, and we will be back to talk more about the theology of the body. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you been married and have since divorced? Do you think your marital status prevents you from coming to church? Most Catholics and non-Catholics unfortunately have a lot of misconceptions about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Pope Francis has recently encouraged all people with questions about marriage to make an appointment and talk with their parish priest. As Catholic priests, we look forward to the opportunity to help you on your journey through life. Please make an appointment to speak with the priest today. We are and will always be here for you.
It really showed me God's love for me and the purpose that He has for my life.
Reminders of that hope that God does have a good plan for my life still.
The message of Christ gets out that way. It's incredible.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back. We are talking with Katrina Zeno. She is the coordinator of St. John Paul II Resource Center for the Theology of the Body and Culture for the Diocese of Phoenix in Arizona. And we're talking about theology of the body. And we were talking about, you had mentioned that love is, you know, Trinitarian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when you said that, I really thought about family love and how that's what families are supposed to do in terms of pouring out their love and their self-love to others. How do can you talk a little bit about family love and how that relates to the Trinity, and then how that can expand to other people?
Yes, of course. I want to make sure we don't lose the single person in this.
Absolutely. Right.
I just want the single people who are listening to know we will get back to you.
Right. And in that love, I think we learn about that in the family. So,
yes, well, John Paul II says that the family is a mirror of the Trinity. And why is it a mirror of the Trinity? Because it's within a family where you see husband and wife pouring themselves out in total gift. I mean, think about what marriage is. Marriage is where I pledge to give myself to this other person in the totality of my self-giving, which includes my body. This is what distinguishes marriage, that it is the fullness of self-giving that includes even giving your body to the other person so that the two become one flesh. So to put it in very simple terms, there's this profound union that then also is expressed in a communion of persons. And so this total gift of self, again, by God's design, this total self-giving love between a husband and wife, the fruit of that, if God so designs, if God so permits, that would be the word, that total self-giving love can overflow into the world as a third, as a person, as a child. And so it's a beautiful image to be able to really grasp profoundly that children are the fruit of love. They're not a means to happiness. Anyone who's been a parent more than, you know, 1 week knows that, you know, you don't bring children into the world because you want them to make you happy. You bring children in the world because you poured yourself out in a total gift of love to your spouse. And God has permitted that total gift of love to actually become enfleshed, to take on this Trinitarian dimension of being a third person, of being the incarnation of your love. That's what a child is meant to be. And so then the child is brought into an immediate communion of persons. And so it is within the family that we are designed to learn what self-giving love is. And so that can bring us, again, back to every person. I mean, I like to say theology of the body is for everyone.
Right.
You know, and the reason I'm passionate about it is because I came to, if you think about my story, mm-hmm. meeting John Paul II after my marriage had disintegrated and I was single and trying to put the pieces of my life back together again. So I encountered theology of the body, and I have only ever lived theology of the body as a single person.
Yeah, so talk about that.
Yeah, well, that's why this understanding, if there's one word that I would want people to identify with theology of the body, it would be gift. I mean, that's the centerpiece of John Paul II's theology of the body. He draws it from one of the Vatican II documents that says man, meaning the human person, can only find himself through a sincere gift of himself. That is, if you think of, you know, when you go to a wedding or a fancy dinner, they often have those beautiful centerpieces in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that expression, man can only find himself, can't fully find himself except through a sincere gift of himself. Think about that as a centerpiece of the theology of the body. Or think about, you know, if we think of a monstrance, Jesus in the center. What does the Eucharist remind us of? What's the central reality of Christianity? Jesus' total gift of self to humanity. We hear it every Mass. This is my body given up for you. And so this is meant to remind us. So if you think of the monstrance, Jesus' total gift of self in the center of that. So theology of the body, total gift of self in the center of theology of the body. Who's called to make a gift of self?
Right. I mean,
everybody.
Right. Everyone is.
I mean, that, in a way, so let's bring it back to this week of Valentine's Day. Really, what are we celebrating with Valentine's Day? We're celebrating the profound truth that the meaning of our bodies is that we are capable of making a total gift of self in love.
No matter.
And that takes... Yeah, no matter
what state is. Yes, exactly. And I think that really helps people understand when they really have a an understanding of self-gift, they really can, that can be animated in so many different ways, even within those vocations of priesthood, religious life, single or married vocation. So obviously you have, how has that manifested in your life in terms of self-gift? Talk a little bit about that.
Oh my gosh.
We could talk another 30 minutes on that.
How has it not manifested itself? You know, once I realized that this is the heart of theology of the body, and that we're all called to make a gift of self in love. So I hit upon an acronym that really helps me in terms of, okay, who do we make this gift of self to? Because, again, the problem is people thinking it's restricted just to the romantic dimension.
Right.
But we're all called to be a gift. From the moment of our conception, we often don't think about it, but a child in the womb is already a gift.
Right.
They're already, he or she's already making a gift of self to his or her parents and to the world. And so here's my acronym. It's Go New York. So maybe, I know this is the indie market, but, you know, maybe we have some New York fans out there. So who are we called to live in union and communion with? Who are we called to make this gift of self to? And the answer is God, that's the G, O, others, nature, in other words, the natural world. We're called to live in union, communion with nature. And then the last one, Y, is within yourself. So we're called to live in union, communion between our body and our spirit. You know, all those different dimensions of us are meant to live in an integrated way. So if you just think of kind of that little framework, okay, how do I make a gift of self to God? How do I make a gift of self to others? How do I make a gift of self live in communion with nature? How do I make a gift of self to myself, not in a selfish way, but in a way that then allows my gift of self to others to flourish? So I'll just give you a couple of examples. One of the many things I've done over the years is I love to dance. So, mm-hmm. You know, I danced ballroom, Argentine tango, salsa, swing. So for many, many years, I taught ballroom and swing dancing. I taught it to the students at Steubenville. I taught it at a community college. I taught high schoolers. I taught senior citizens. And I learned eventually that, oh, this is a way I make a gift of self to all of these people, because it's easy as a teacher to fall into the rut of you want everyone to do what you're asking them to do right away and in the way you ask them.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn as a teacher, it doesn't work that way, especially with a skill like dancing. And so I had to learn to treat each person uniquely and to encourage them just to grow from wherever they started, and it might be nothing, and you know, to make improvement from their own baseline. Instead of having my standard that I wanted everyone to reach, I learned how to be encouraging and affirming for each person, and it changed the way I taught dance. It changed the way I interacted.
I can't believe that the time has gone by so fast. We have a couple minutes left here. You do a lot of speaking and teaching in your various occupations. What are some of the impacts that you felt that you've had on people? Or what do you hope that you've had?
Yes. Okay, so I was in Australia in July, and I gave a one-day workshop in Melbourne. And I noticed that there were some high schoolers there, and so I went and introduced myself to them because everyone else was young adult or adults. And I said, so, you know, why are you here? And they all looked at me, our parents made us come. I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, they dutifully attended the six-hour workshop. And when it was over, I said to them, so are you glad you came? And they lit up. I mean, you know, like a firecracker. And they all of them, oh, yes, we're so glad we came. It was transformative, because what it did is it moved theology of the body out of the restricted understanding of this is a chastity message, and I'm going to sit here for 6 hours learning why I shouldn't have sex before marriage,
mm-hmm.
to understanding themselves and their identity as a gift, how to make a gift of self to others, how sin impedes that gift, how Christ comes back to redeem us and empower that gift, and how we're meant to make that, how that gift is perfected forever in heaven. So just, it's just a simple example for young people who just thought, you know, they were going to have a miserable day, and it was transformative. And I would say I've seen that over and over and over. Seminarians, women, men. I love speaking to only men. It's fantastic. You know, married people, again, single people, when they realize this message is for them, and women in particular who have a love-hate relationship with their body, to see them receive their body as a gift, that's impactful.
Well, Katrina, you have given us so much to think about. My guest has been Katrina Zeno. She's been talking about the theology of the body. You have brought sunshine and the Holy Spirit to us today in Indiana. Could you give us a website or a way to get in touch with you if people want to get your books or have you come speak?
Oh, I would be delighted to. Thank you, Bridget. They can email me at tobspeaker@gmail.com. My website is simply my name, katrinazeno.com, so K-A-T-R-I-N-A, Z as in zebra, E, N as in Nancy, O.com. I have my books for sale myself, so they can email me at tobspeaker.com and inquire about those. I have a YouTube channel that has a number of videos for various audiences, and if they just search on YouTube and Katrina Zeno and then click on my channel, I also have a...
your blog, right?
Yeah, blog, thank you, called TOB Tuesdays, and that's at my professional website, which is tobcenter.org, and if you look on the right-hand side, there's a link to TOB Tuesdays, and I try to come out every Tuesday, and that's a really great entry point for people, and I always recommend start with blog number one, because they do build on each other, but that would be, I would say, one of the best places for people to go and kind of get familiar with both me and with theology of the body.
Well, Katrina, you've been a delight to have. Katrina Zeno on the theology of the body. Thanks so much for being our guest on Faith in Action.
Thank you so much for letting me bring a little bit of TOB sunshine into your week.
Amen.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.